Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Amen. Amen. It really is a privilege to stand up here and share the word of God with you this morning. And I hope that you will be plugged in, as Kulu has already mentioned, but that also when God starts to engage you this morning with his word, that your lives would transform and you would respond to him this morning. Don't wait till the end. If God starts to prompt you and to move your heart, take a hold of those things in Christ right now, in Jesus' name. So let's just open in prayer as we do. God, we just commit this time of sharing the word as every person's heart, every person's life, every person's walk is so critically important to the building of your kingdom. And so we do ask that your kingdom come and your will be done in the service, in our hearts and lives today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you've heard already, we're starting a brand new sermon series called Imperfect. And the definition of imperfect means where someone is damaged or has problems, he lacks in something, he is not perfect, having a defect, a fault, or an error. So it could be just a setting in your life that just helps you from time to time to just seem to wander off course. And there's just too familiar territory in my life, knowing that there is this other person in me that just comes out every now and again. I don't know where he comes, sleeps in the closet, and every now and again he comes out. And I'm one of those imperfect people. You know, the Bible is full of examples of where God used imperfect people to do incredible things in the world. The Bible is full of these people. God loves imperfect people, and we are all imperfect. If you're perfect, please come. I need to chat to you. I would like to meet you this morning. You know, Samson is my imperfect example in the Bible this morning. And, you know, he displayed the imperfect life so well. And in fact, and the fact that God used someone like Samson, this imperfect man, is incredible. Samson's parents, to start off, had no children, but God spoke to them about having a son. It was a miracle, and he was going to give them this son. God told them he must be raised a Nazarite. And a Nazarite means that from birth you are set aside for God. You're not allowed to cut your hair. You're not allowed to drink any fermented drink like wine or anything like that. You're not allowed to eat any impure food or whatever. And you're not allowed to touch the carcass of any dead thing. And so you were really to separate yourself from birth. And this is how God wanted Samson's parents to raise him. So he had these things in his makeup. He had all this preparation. But all of these things were to just set him up so that God could use him in a way. All because God wanted him to deliver Israel. And he wanted the leader to be an example, somebody that other people could look up to. But he was imperfect. In one instance, he was due to get married, and he was at his engagement party, and he gave all the guests a riddle. And for 5 days, they couldn't guess that riddle. And at the end of it, his wife, to be, nagged him and nagged him and nagged him. And eventually he told her, and she told the guests, because they had threatened to kill her if she didn't reveal at least what the riddle meant. And so when they came and said, this is what the riddle meant, he knew. The only way they would have known that is if they had been persecuting his fiance. So he went out, and the bet was for 30 cloaks. And he just went and killed 30 Philistine men and took their cloaks and brought it to the wedding guests and handed it over to them. They then they went and took the wife and her family, the fiance and her family, when they saw how mad Samson was, and they burnt them to death. And now Samson was even more angry, and he went out, and when the Philistines came to arrest him, he took the jawbone of a donkey. Remember, he wasn't allowed to touch any dead thing. And he took a jawbone of a donkey, and he killed over 1,000 soldiers that day in one battle. So he was an incredibly strong man. He had a gift from God, which was incredible strength. And God had used him to bring judgment against the Philistines. And just a bit of information around Samson's life, that he lived as the leader for 20 years. And his influence, imagine influencing the situation, no one knowing where they stood with him, the Philistines, and he slowly broke their power and their influence. They put him in chains one day because he had one weakness in his life, and that was he liked women and Philistine women. And one of those Philistine women eventually enticed him to give up his secret of his great strength. And when he revealed it to her, she knew what that was, to cut off all of his hair. Never had his hair cut. I often try and imagine what that must have looked like. Never to cut your hair for your whole life. I've seen people with long hair, but here's somebody in their 40s with long hair. I just can't imagine what it looked like. I just see a response over there from Robbie. You can have a look over there. But what happened at the end of the day was Delilah cut off his hair, and his strength, the Bible says, departed from him. And the Philistines overpowered him. They immediately gouged out his eyes. They put him in chains. They abused him. And here he was, this man who no one could touch because of his great strength. In one evening of letting it all fall apart, he lost everything. Samson, this great man of strength, now weak and imprisoned by God's enemies, and after breaking all his Nazarite vows, he had hit rock bottom. And I'm sure that any one of us can relate to that, where you hit rock bottom. You just don't know which is up. And, you know, you stand in a place where you just don't know what to do next. And this is where the story that I want to share with you this morning. This next verse shows how wonderfully God uses imperfect people. And it's found in Judges chapter 16, verse 28. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me again. O God, please strengthen me just one more time. With one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my two eyes." Then Samson put his hands on the two center pillars that held up the temple, and pushing against them both with his hands, he prayed, "Let me die with the Philistines." And the temple crashed down on the Philistine rulers and all the people. So he killed more people when he died than he had during his entire lifetime. And when you are down to nothing, God has a way of doing things that are just extraordinarily amazing, isn't it so? So he had been raised as a judge in Israel. His superpower was incredible strength. So I sometimes wonder, I admire strength. And, you know, when people pick up heavyweights and you watch these powerlifters, I really admire seeing what one man is able to push the limits on the weights. And whenever somebody sets a record, you can be sure next year somebody's going to break that record. When you think this has never been done, somebody squatted the other day 1,000 kilograms, 1 ton of weight. Can you imagine what that is? You know, that's like squatting a car, 1 ton. That was incredible. But Samson had just incredible strength. He had incredible power. And I believe God raised him up as a Nazarite specifically to guard his heart. And you know, when you have that kind of power, you can use it in the wrong way. And so God tried everything in his power to make sure that he would be raised upright. He would have godly values, godly principles in his life, so that when God began to use him, there would always be the right checks and balances in play as he exercised his great strength. Does that make sense to you this morning? That God needed him to have a real disciplined life behind the scenes, but he slipped up. Great power like this could make you abusive towards people and taking you somewhere where you shouldn't go and taking something that doesn't belong to you, which often happened in his case. And there's a famous word, and somebody might recognize it: with great power comes great responsibility. Anybody know where that is from? Spider-Man. Yes, Stan Lee. He gets the credit for that one. With great power comes great responsibility. Samson was imperfect. He could have had it all he failed, but he failed time and again. His problem with women cost him greatly. But until finally, God withdrew his strength from him. Isn't that like quite a sad picture? That God goes the distance. He just goes and goes and goes with this man. And there's just one point where he just steps out of the picture and the man is left on his own to his own devices. I don't know if you remember Pastor Byron's message last year with a long rope, and he had somebody standing on that side and this long rope that went all around the church. And how much rope do you need? How much room do you need to put your life right, get your house in order? And Samson really tested that. Samson had let God down, let his family down, let himself down. And when you carry that amount of weight on your shoulders and guilt in your heart, it's hard to come back from that. And you know, as a pastor, I so often encounter people who just feel as if they are worthless. There is nothing that they have left inside of them. And you know, I'm one of those imperfect people. I feel that many times in my life. There are moments where you just feel there's nothing left in me. What am I doing? Why am I doing this to myself? And then God, in his power, still shows you that there is a thread of grace woven in your story, and something marvelous is coming from this. Don't give up. But you know, there's a verse that says his hair began to grow back. And you know, that was like a turning point in Samson's life. Every day he would feel his head and just feel that he had lost his victory, lost his strength, and knowing what that lack of hair on his head represented. But his hair began to grow back, and in growing back, so did his faith. And once more, his strength came back, and God gave him this incredible gift again. And he pushed down pillars, holding up that amphitheater. And that day, 3,000 Philistines and their leaders were killed. Isn't that marvelous? You know, he prayed for a second chance in fulfilling his calling to defeat the Philistines, and God gave it to him. I just love that. You know, he felt as if he'd lost everything. He wasn't good enough. And yet, when he prayed, God gave him back his strength. God has a way of leveling the playing fields if we will trust him. And we can turn to him in each and every situation. Samson had really blown it big time, but God was willing to forgive. The big question would be, would God use him again? And the answer is immediately yes. God was willing and used him more mightily than before. You know, we could have had this expectation, just God, just use me in one way or another. But God used him so profoundly, killed more people in his death than throughout the course of the lives, the 20 years that he had ruled as a judge in Israel. That's just so marvelous to me. Here are some ways to move from an imperfect to a perfect situation. Number one, never underestimate the power of God to change a situation. In this story, if the story tells us anything about the power of God, it is this. When you're at your weakest, God is at his strongest. Isn't it so powerful? God saw everything that happened to his servant Samson by the Philistines, and they were going to pay dearly for it. God is a way of reckoning those who attack us, those who come against us, and where we feel defeated, worn out, robbed. God is a way of dealing with those things. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to look to judge those people. You don't have to look to get revenge. But isn't revenge sweet sometimes? That's just by the way. Nothing to do with my message. And you know, they have on YouTube karma. Have you watched those videos? Instant karma. So every now and again, because where this other person comes out very often is in traffic. And don't you wish there would just be some instant karma, and especially somebody driving down the yellow line, and there is for once a policeman standing there saying, stop, here's your fine, and you just drive past, just karma, it just works so well. So this is not about karma. The big question was, would God use Samson, who he had called to do a job, at a time when Israel needed a judge? And the answer is yes. In Judges 16:30, it says, so he killed more people when he died than he had during his entire lifetime. No matter how greatly you have failed or how deeply you have fallen into sin, how lost or alone you may feel, never underestimate the power of God to change a situation. Shall I just say that again? Never underestimate the power of God to change a situation. Point number two, a setback was followed up with a great comeback. And I just love that phrase. Samson had judged the Philistines for 20 years, but now he was imprisoned by those very same Philistines. Don't you think they wanted to make a joke of him, mock him, just torture him day in and day out just to get revenge for all the years that he had persecuted them? I just can't imagine what it was like. This great man, great strength, and lost everything. Now the very people that he persecuted were persecuting him day and night. I don't know how bad it was for him, but it was bad for him. This was a huge setback in his life and influence and leadership. You know, he could have asked God to give him his sight back. But in thinking about it, I just thought about this, that maybe he'd come to realize that the one thing that betrayed him all the time was his sight. And the sight just kept on leading him astray and away from God's calling, which was to display great strength and to bring victory against God's enemies. And he somehow realized, I don't need my sight to do it. I just need my strength, which is the gift that God had given him. Paul the Apostle wrote about a weakness in his life. In 2 Corinthians 12, he says, three times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Isn't that marvelous? I just love that last phrase. When I am weak, then I am strong. Samson didn't know if God would give him back his strength. But when he placed his hands on those pillars, power flowed through his whole body and he pushed those pillars down. What a comeback. Don't you think that at the end of the day, he gained an even bigger victory? You know, I've often stood next to big entrance ways, and you see these big columns, and you imagine how much power he must have needed to be able to break those columns. I've seen a railway sleeper. If they built it all out of wood, how strong it is. Can you imagine how much power he would need to push even a railway sleeper that size, holding up one of these amphitheaters? I can't explain it to you. I can't even begin to describe what that means. But God gave him incredible strength and power to do it. Point number three. Everyone's journey is unique in life, and God's ways are perfect. So everyone is on a unique journey, and God's ways are perfect. God knew Samson was imperfect, and yet God still used him to lead his people. One of his biggest problems was he was a loner, and he always just stuck to himself. And his problem, and I, you know, sometimes wonder about like church attendance, how important it is that we don't become loners, that we do become people who are engaged and come to church regularly and engage ourselves with other believers. You know, some of the worst of times have been held up in my life by brothers and sisters in Christ. I've even been a backslider, and I used to dread people from the church coming to visit me. Henry Van Vel and Mel would come and visit me. And I worked in a restaurant. They'd come and eat and have coffee there regularly and say, we're praying for you, brother. When are we going to see you in church? Yes, I'll be there on Sunday. The common response. But when I look back, I thank God for brothers and sisters who were in your life, who watched you and guarded over your life, even when I didn't have the power and strength to do it for myself. They did it for me. When he was captured, everyone would have found out how it happened. So they would have known his story, that a woman had enticed him, that he had lost his strength because this woman had discovered his secret, something that no one else should know about, and she had managed to extrapolate that secret to his strength from him. And the shame and the humbleness of that what it must have cost him, how he must have gone over and over. I made a mistake. It has cost me. I can never come back from this. And you know, if anything describes imperfect well, it's that we all work and live, walk and live in this life with an imperfect marker in our life. When you're under a little bit of strain, isn't it like a reference point? You immediately go back and say, all right, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I'll never make it because of this thing in my life, this mistake in my life. The world can be a cruel place with very little forgiveness. And many times failures follow people around like a dirty smear. And in some situations, they even disqualify people and disqualify us from promotion or ever being able to work in a specific field again. But the world can also be a place where the quality of your relationship with God is shaped and molded and perfected. And I think that's what the secret of Samson's turnaround was, that even in that place, that he once again remembered that he was a Nazarite. Once again, he had been called by God. Once again, God moved in his life, and God gave him incredible strength to bring about a victory against the Philistines. All those things that he had now lost in prison, he looked into again and just said, God, if you can still use me, use me. Isaiah 25, verse 1 says, O Lord, I will honor and praise your name, for you are my God. You do such wonderful things. You planned them long ago, and now you have accomplished them. Go on to verse 4. But you are a tower of refuge to the poor. O Lord, a tower of refuge to the needy in distress. You are a refuge from the storm and a shelter from the heat. For the oppressive acts of ruthless people are like a storm beating against the wall or like the relentless heat in the desert. But you silence the roar of foreign nations as the shade of a cloud cools relentless heat. So the boastful songs of ruthless people are stilled. Quietness in the storm. Isn't it so marvelous? God can take the most messed up situation and weave his perfection into someone's life and bring about a glorious testimony at the end of the day. Point number 4, and we're coming into land, halfway there. Take a hold of the dream and the vision God has placed in your heart. Samson looked at the biggest opportunity he could have to defeat his enemies, and that's what pricked his conscience. I think God had been working some degree of faith in this man. And just looking at that situation, here was an opportunity, God, to do more damage than every other occasion had presented. His calling was to use his strength. Just pushing those two walls killed more Philistines in one single battle than throughout his whole life, the Bible tells us. He was in the worst place in his life, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Yet when he reached out to God, he gained the greatest victory in his entire life. I just love that. Don't you just love that? You may not feel worthy. You may not feel good. Whatever it is that you feel has disqualified you this morning, reaching out to God puts you in a place, sets you up for things that you can never ask for, dream, or imagine. And that's also a scripture. Amen. I'm not speaking my own words. That would be the worst. That would really be detrimental to you this morning. But may the word speak to you. The Apostle Paul says this, not that I've already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take a hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. Sometimes you just have to have that moment of introspection and take a hold of the calling. If you're here this morning and you've known at any one time of your life, God taking a hold of your life, it's a calling. He has taken your hold of your life for something very specific. If you're feeling that tugging at your heart this morning, I want you to take a step of faith this morning. I want you to make a stand to follow Christ and press in to that. Press on, take a hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. What has God placed in your heart? Take a hold of it. He can turn any circumstance around. Point number 5. He didn't look for a way out, but he looked for a way to win. And to win against the force and strength of the enemy he was facing. You know, I think Samson heard that calling of God in his life, God stirring him as the Philistines mocked him and mocked God. And worship their idols, saying this God has got no power, that something was stirring and stirring. And what God has placed in your heart, take a hold of it. He can turn your circumstances around. If you have been sitting in a certain place or struggling for too long with certain problems and there is still no change, it could be that you need to adjust how you're praying. Something you may need to take a hold of, your circumstances. How long will your circumstances persecute you? How long will those voices tell you you're not good enough, you're not worthy enough? Reaching out to God disqualified everything else and qualified him once again to be this great judge, this great man, this great leader with incredible strength. Sometimes God doesn't take your problems away, but he gives you the power to overcome and defeat those things that always seem to be holding you back in life. Could be a lack of a good start in life holds you back. Could be a weakness in some area of your life holds you back. Seems to have let you down. Things that might let you down. Lack of education. Even people in your life, whatever it is that you feel has let you down. You could be in an imperfect set of circumstances. But God is willing to give you the perfect amount of strength to power you up, to get through and to overcome what you are facing right now. And isn't it amazing? You know, one of the hardest things for me to learn was that I have enough in me right now to deal with everything I have to deal with in my life right now. And just getting that revelation has helped me and so many other people as I've shared it with them. Whatever you have at this very point in your life is more than enough to deal with everything you have to deal with in Jesus' name. You're still going to grow. You're still going to learn some new thing. You're still going to be taught things that are just going to blow your mind and change your world completely. But everything you need right now, you have it already in Jesus' name. Lastly, always take the next step, however big or small. Samson prayed to God, and then he placed his hands on those pillars, and then the power of God flowed through him, and he got the biggest breakthrough of his life, and the rest is history. So often we pray, but we don't take the next step. Samson didn't sit back and wait for God to place his hands on those pillars. He placed his hands on the pillars. And so often we're praying and saying, God, you take the first step, then I will step out. But Samson just went up to those pillars, and however ridiculous it might have looked to everyone else standing there. And weren't they pleasantly surprised at the end of the day when God's power worked through him and God gave him something to work with, and God wanted something to work with from him. And then God did. When God saw he had something to work with, he worked through Samson like that. And so often we are praying for things to change. You've got to find what it is. You've got to find what you need to put your hand on. You've got to find what you need to make a stand in this morning. Take the next step. Give your life to Christ. Get baptized. Do move forward. Volunteer for something in church. Join a life group. Be generous with your whole tithe. If you do your part, God will certainly do his part. Amen. You know, there are some things that we have had to do in life that have just been so risque, putting it out there and saying, God, how? I don't know, but I'm stepping out in faith right now and seeing where that will lead me. When my daughters were very young, we went walking by the lake, and I was telling them about walking on water. And we walked right up to the edge of the lake, and at the edge of the lake, I let go of their hands and I stepped out on the water and sunk. So they were laughing, and in fact, all the fishermen over there were laughing just as well. And in my mind, I thought, God, you know, this is such a good moment to teach my children something about faith. And on the way back, you know, I didn't feel embarrassed. I didn't feel ashamed. I was in front of a very posh restaurant. And here I was with mud up to my knees. And even the people in the restaurant who had seen it were all laughing. But I just said to my girls, can you imagine if I walked across that water? What they would have said, how they would have responded would have been so differently. But, you know, I'm telling you the story today because I took a risk to my embarrassment. And I don't feel ashamed telling the story. I loved it. I just thought, my girls must know their dad took a step of faith. What are they willing to do? What are you willing to do as you take a step of faith and are called to do something, however big or small? Take the next step. Put yourself out there. Give God something to work with. Paul says in Philippians 3 verse 12, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Isn't that awesome? I just love that verse. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. My benchmark is not another human person. My benchmark is Christ in life. And out of that, all the other things flow. My love for people, my interactions, my relationship, what I do for God. Because His perfection is always in front of me. There is always something I've got to live up to. There's always something I've got to step out in faith for. Because His perfection is just ahead of me. Always the same, never wavering, always helping me to be a better citizen in God's kingdom. So let's quickly recap. Never underestimate the power of God to change a situation. Point number two, a setback was followed up with a great comeback. Everyone's journey is unique in life, and God's ways are perfect. Accept that. Take hold of the dream and the vision God has placed in your heart. He didn't look for a way out, but he looked for a way to win and to win against the force and strength of the enemy or the size of the problem he was facing. And lastly, always take the next step, however big or small. And it doesn't matter how much I inspire you, how much I motivate you to take that step this morning, unless you are willing to take that step, things just stay the same. You could walk around this mountain and we can meet this time, the 1st of March in 2021, and you could be in the same situation, somebody motivating, somebody encouraging you, somebody saying, take the next step. So, or else you can do it this morning and take the next step this morning. So I'm speaking to people who are in business, people who are in a relationship, people who are struggling at work, people who are facing challenges in the workplace, in school, and wherever that life that God has called you to lead has led you up to this point. And then there are also those who have come to church today to hear from Jesus this morning. I hope you don't see me, but I hope you've heard something that has just charged your spirit, your heart, saying, I need this Jesus. And the way that Mark has described, I need Jesus. Like that, I want Jesus to be in front of me that way. And you know, it would just be our absolute privilege and honor as a church to help you to take that next step. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you need prayer, please go to our prayer room. We have people there, good people there who will pray for you and lay hands on you and trust God with you for your situation this morning. But if you're here this morning and you would like to give your life to Jesus, you'd like to say, yes, I want to give my life to Jesus this morning, it would be our absolute privilege and honor. And at the count of three, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just need an indication that I'm speaking to you this morning. And then we are going to pray together and ask Jesus to come into our hearts. So if I'm speaking to you this morning, won't you just bow your heads for a moment? And while all eyes are closed this morning, if God has been speaking to you, and no matter where you find yourself right now in the situation, you need to respond. You need to say, this is me, Jesus. Please come into my heart. So at the count of three, I want you just to raise up your hand. One, two, three. Just raise up your hand. if I'm speaking to you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Quickly raise up your hand and we are going to pray together. So church, I want you just to pray with me this morning and let's join together. Thank you. I see that hand there. Let's join together as we pray with these folk that have raised their hands this morning. Our Father, we call upon you for strength and forgiveness that comes through the power of your love, which we see in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Now, God, we ask for forgiveness. Lead us this day and every day to walk in your light and your kingdom and follow your ways. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. God bless you. I'm going to hand over to...
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.